Welcome back to a new month and a brand new season of the PigX podcast. I'm your host, Delaney Howell. We're excited to bring you another season packed with great insights and updates on everything happening in the swine industry. If you're new to the show, welcome. We're glad you're here. And to our loyal listeners who tune in every month, thanks for your continued support. Each month, we release a new episode focused on key topics in the swine industry, all related to pig livability. And from time to time, we also offer special series with bonus episodes. In today's episode, we're diving back into the Pig Livability Grant, recapping its history and exploring what's ahead as we move into the new season. We'll also preview a unique industry conference happening in November that offers a great opportunity for learning and networking. Joining us today are two experts in the swine livability field, Dr. Joel DeRouchy, a professor and state extension leader at Kansas State University specializing in swine nutrition and management, and Dr. David Rosero, an assistant professor at Iowa State University. Let's begin by learning more about their backgrounds and connections to the swine industry.
Yeah, thanks, Delaney, for having us on today. My background here at Kansas State University, I work in the area of swine nutrition and management. I've been on faculty for over 20 years, and one of the core things that we work on is, along with swine nutrition, many management techniques to help improve profitability of swine producers and certainly mortality and morbidity and improving lifetime performance of pigs is part of that program, which led us to be to start this overall large project in conjunction with Iowa State and Purdue back originally in 2018.
Perfect. And David, what about your background?
I started my work at Iowa swine production back 10 years ago as nutritionist in a swine production company, Hanover. So I did that for 9 years, and this is second year at Iowa State University as assistant professor, building a program that is based on swine nutrition, but also management and the application of technologies. And that's what it brought me to the Pig Livability Project, is looking into ways to implement technology, implement new strategies, management strategies to improve livability of pigs.
So Joel, as you mentioned, this project dates back to 2018, which seems crazy that it has been going on for this long. You know, the PigX podcast was one of the many ways that information from the project was to get disseminated to those working in the swine industry. But for those listeners that maybe are newer and haven't learned about some of that background from the project, can you share more about what the project is, why it started back in 2018? And then we can get more into what does it look like today?
Sure. So back in 2018, the National Pork Board developed a emphasis on wanting a larger project funded in collaboration with academics and then the partnership with the U.S. swine industry to have a specific project on pig livability. At that time, Kansas State, Iowa State, and Purdue University partnered together and to put together a proposal that was ultimately funded by the National Pork Board and the Foundation for Food and Agricultural Research. Those two groups did it jointly. So that allowed us to start the process of having a larger national conversation, because mortality is a major issue in our industry through all different phases. And really the goal was to bring not just the academic side, but clearly a large industry presence to help us partner in an overall large project looking at pig livability. And in fact, that initial project lasted for about 6 years. And then we've been renewed with both of those groups going forward. But one of the things that we wanted to do is not just develop information, but get it out to the industry. So not only the PigX webcast that we're on now is a product of that. We have a website, piglivability.org. On that website, we have approximately 30 fact sheets. We have short videos. We have all the information that's been generated over the last 7-8 years now as a clearinghouse for that to get out to the industry themselves. We've also hosted another large conference back in 2001. At that, we had 450 registrants that represented 175 different pork producer businesses and allied industry businesses. And so the goal of this is really a national effort to continue to have more focus working together to improve pig livability for our U.S. producers.
Jewel, as you think about pig livability, how would you define what that means?
Yeah, so we're really looking at pig livability is the survivability really from birth to market. And also embedded in that is our reproductive herds, not only during gilt development, but the sow herd themselves. So we basically, every animal that is born, having them an opportunity to be a marketable pig, whether that's through the normal wean to finish process on our terminal side, or on our reproductive side, that those sows ultimately, once they have ended their time in the sow herd, that they're able to be sold for value to enter the food chain as well.
So before we get into a little bit more about the future and the current aspect of the Livability Project, Jewel, walk us through some of the research and objectives that have been identified and being worked on since 2018 to date.
Yeah, one of the first goals back when we started the research was to do several comprehensive reviews to take all the information available in different production phases, to bring it together to not only determine what has been proven to help or not help with pig livability, but also identify those gaps of where the research needs to go forward. And certainly some core areas that we focused on was the pelvic organ prolapse area. We also focused a lot on nursery pigs, both the nutrition and management, transitioning them from the sow into the nursery to improve, especially the first week to 2 weeks, emphasis on improving pig feed intake and livability during that period of time. One of the other big things that's been focused on is the correlations of livability with other associated effects or other risk factors. The Iowa State Group in particular has led this effort, looking at the correlations of downstream livability in the wean to finish area, especially related back to the sow herd, and understanding the emphasis and importance of sow herd health on lifetime productivity and survivability of the piglets once they're weaned all the way to market, and then putting other risk factors associated with that as well. One of the other main areas we've got really highlighted is refocused on animal caretaker training and individual sow care. And Chris Rodemaker and a group at Iowa State particularly has spent a lot of time on individual sow care. And that really has to do with just getting back to the basics of animal husbandry training to identify sows that are off feed or maybe struggling, that they get the proper care and attention immediately to help them recover and get back into a productive state. And so those are just a few highlights of some of the emphasis. And then, I mean, in reality, there has been over 20 graduate students trained, over 120 invited presentations, not only in the U.S., but worldwide. And so, again, there's lots of different layers of research in there, but those are just a few of the highlights just to mention briefly.
So for clarity, what number of funding rounds are you on?
This would be the second time that the grant is being funded. And again, this will jointly be done by National Pork Board and the Foundation for Food and Agricultural Research. The one thing I also want to highlight is during our first initial funding, back to the industry collaboration and industry support, just based on the emphasis in the partnership, industry partners in-kind donated approximately $1.6 million worth of facilities, data collection, labor on their part to help make this project successful, to generate new information. And in addition, because of the ongoing projects, it allowed on the academic side, the principal investigators to gain an additional $1.5 million of other grants not associated with National Pork Board and FFAR because of some of the not only initial data, but the ongoing projects that were generated. So the multiplication effect allowed us to expand the project beyond just the initial scope. And that's led us into now the second round of funding from those two groups to continue this effort.
David, why do you think this project is potentially being renewed alongside your project?
So yeah, because of the success of the first part of the project, we're giving continuation. So in this second round of funding, National Pork Board has funded $500,000, and the Foundation for Food and Agriculture Research can potentially fund some more. We're waiting on the response for this. And this will be for another 2 years, 1 year already being conducting research with National Pork Board Research Funds.
And so then as you think about why it's being renewed, David, what was some of the logic behind maybe your side, but also national pork producers of continuing to invest in this research?
Maybe just to recap, as in the first part of the project, I wasn't a researcher as part of the project, but I was more of a participant from outside, being one of the swine production systems. I was able to see the impact that this consortium had in the swine industry. So National Pork Board got behind and wanted to provide continuation. And now that I have joined from Iowa State University, what we want to emphasize is integration of new technologies in some of these pillars and sow and nursery and false weaning mortality. And all of the emphasis is to now take what we have learned from the first project and do on-farm demonstration of these best practices, and also the monitoring and reporting of these successes. We believe this is important to provide more examples to other producers to apply these new learnings into their facilities.
Talk to us about what some of the focuses are with this pig livability project.
Very well, I will highlight on the areas what we have, and because Joel, myself, we are into swine nutrition and management practices, but we also have collaborators that do other areas in the swine production, such as reproduction, animal welfare, new technologies, data science integration, microbiology.
As you think then about this next round of funding, did you, as part of that renewal process, have to outline continued areas of focus? And do you want to run through some of those for me too?
The link to, I think it's the key areas that we were asked to emphasize was integration of new technologies, as I emphasized before, and the on-farm demonstration best practices. Now, something else too for the audience to know, and as a big consortium between the universities and researchers, we also have integrated industry partners that are part of an advising board to us. And so we have proposed projects to our advisory board, and we have landed into different areas of importance. We manage the program in four pillars, including extension, which Joel is a key part of that, but then also pillars that involve improving sow livability, the pre-weaning livability, and post-weaning livability. And within these pillars, we want to go deeper into understanding why some of these mortalities are occurring into the field, such as sudden deaths. Dr. Chris Rademacher is leading that area. We also want to understand more about sow lameness. Those are key aspects, key areas that we want to tackle on mortality. Something that Joel already emphasized early on was the first 2 weeks pause weaning. We believe this is key. So we now are applying nutritional and feeding strategies to minimize losses during that phase. And then in the post-weaning area, we also want to apply data science learnings that we have in the first project. And one of those is the application wean quality score, and that now being applied with understanding on barn setup settings when we place pigs into the barns and risk factors that might impact mortality. These are a few of the examples on some of the projects that are already ongoing.
Yeah, and I may just build on that just a little bit. One of the things that we've done and we did in the original project and have in this project is really have teams of formed in different areas. So the pillar one, which is focused on the U.S., on the sow farms. Our second pillar is the pre-weaning. Pillar three is wean to finish. And so within those groups, and David just talked about some of those, how we're getting organized and have areas of emphasis, we have teams between our universities that are formed within each one of those that provide the primary leadership and direction. And then that branches out with the consultation of our industry advisory board that David mentioned that's so important to our group. We stay in communication with them. And they also help give, they've given feedback on priority areas within those sub, within those pillar areas, as well as offer feedback on research trial designs and areas of emphasis. So to make sure that we're, you know, aligning our priorities with, again, the, in that industry collaboration.
So then do you think there is going to be a third round of funding at some point in the future?
We love to, and maybe the way that the team is thinking about this is hopefully is something that provides a longer continuation, and because of the impact that it's having to the industry, we're hoping for something that is long term, so 5+ years, right? That keep us these teams together, and then keep working deeper into the questions around peak livability.
So you both are also helping coordinate a conference this fall where we're going to have some exciting topics. Some we've discussed on the podcast that will be shared through presentations and some that may not have been shared on the podcast yet, but will following the conference. Tell us more about putting this conference together.
Yeah, I think one of the things that was part of this project was, again, to bring people together that have the common area of wanting to improve pig livability. So in 2021, we hosted a meeting, a conference that we had, again, 450 people attend. And basically what we tried to do was bring not only U.S., but international speakers in that could talk about their direct experiences. So our goal in 2021 and the goal of our conference, which is going to be held November 5th and 6th, of 2025 this fall, is to bring take-home messages on what is working and also what isn't working. So it's important that we don't repeat efforts if it's not going to move a needle. So our goal is to bring people together in both media, you know, longer talks, but a lot of rapid fire talks on new research, industry speakers that have a focus and what they deal with on a daily basis, looking at different aspects of pig livability in the different production areas.
And what will days at the conference look like?
So on day one of the conference, it is set up to be all large sessions. And so the speakers that we have, we know will be able to talk to all people in attendance. And we really want to set up with, again, to get the latest trends. And again, that we'll have a speaker from MetaFarms as well as Dr. Holtkamp at Iowa State talking about national and international trends. And but then also we'll have a speaker, Dr. Clayton Johnson, talk about livability and economics. There's always a cost on both sides. We clearly want to improve livability and get the economic return from that. But there's also investments that it takes in addition to our traditional management and facilities that we have built. And so he's going to talk about that. We're going to also spend quite a bit of time on this whole association of whole herd livability related to sow farm health. It cannot be emphasized enough the importance of what the sow farm health status does for the complete cycle of pig livability all the way to market. And we're going to spend some time for, especially the group at Iowa State that spent a lot of time doing those associated risk factors. We also have talks. I won't go through all the talks, but we'll have on individual sow care. We're going to have a really exciting session on the genetic impact to livability, where we have leadership from DNA, from Tollpigs Norsvin, as well as PIC, talking about their individual programs setting up for pig livability. So we're really excited to have our genetic partners be part of this conference once again as well. We're going to also then lead into farm staffing, livability success stories from a number of our U.S.-based producers talking about what they've done to improve. And so we're going to get real-world examples. And so we're really excited to have that as part of our conference for that first day.
I'm also excited for day two because we have concurrent sessions happening. Four different ones, talking about the different areas of production, including breeding hair mortality, pre-weaning piglet mortality, post-weaning mortality, and or in the nursery section, and an or post-weaning mortality in the finisher section. And in the way that these are structured is to do updates on some of the key projects we just mentioned early. For example, in the breeding hair, Dr. Chris Rademacher will talk about his diagnosis of sudden death project. And what we also want to do in this concurrent session is to bring real on-farm success stories. So we have people from the industry participating in these, in some of these concurrent sessions. Now, we also have to include the elephant in the room, which is PERS. So we have an OR session that dedicates to talk and discuss more about best practices for living with PERS and as we want to maximize livability. So in that session, especially, we have veterinarians and leaders of the veterinary medicine in different companies, such as Dr. Pete Thomas from the Veterinary Service for Iowa Select Farms, Jeremy Pittman from Smithfield Hog Production, and Amy Mashups from the Mashups Company. And then we'll be concluding our session with Dr. Joel DeRucci and talking about the path forward and how we envision the industry to keep collaborating to tackle the swine livability.
What kind of an audience are you expecting to see? Maybe some recaps of 2021 and what you're expecting to see this year in 2025?
Yeah, the goal of this conference is to bring back together our U.S. swine producers and allied industry as a core target audience once again. We also have, we'll have international in 2021. We did have some international participation. We were just coming out of the COVID pandemic. And so this was at that time, this was one of the first large conferences held, but there was some international travel restrictions. And so at this point, we've had a good response from international producers and industry personnel to attend. And so what we, again, our goal is to bring together that group, but also it's not only just the owners and managers. We feel there's a lot of value of the content provided for those sow farm managers, production leaders, other employees and personnel within individual production systems or family operations that can get take-home messages from this. Again, while we're going to have some big picture discussions, our focus is on what can people take home to their operations, have discussions with their technical team or other family members, and then put some action in motion. And so we want to make sure we have the right players there for all that. And so, again, we feel it's really relevant to all types of personnel within these different swine production systems.
For people interested in registering, how can they go to do that?
Yeah, on our piglivability.org website, this is a place we host all of our developed information. We have a webpage dedicated to the conference on our piglivability.org website, and anybody can go there, not only get more information on the conference and agenda, but that is a place where you can register for the conference directly.
And remind us, Joel, where the conference will be held.
So the conference this year will be held at the Omaha Hilton in downtown Omaha. This was the same location that we held it in 2021. And again, all that information is available at the conference website at our piglivability.org web landing page.
Well, don't forget to get registered for that conference coming up in November at the Hilton Omaha, November 5th and 6th. It'll be two full days of all things pig livability. You can find more details regarding the conference and the agenda at piglivability.org/2025-conference. And what a great way to kick off another season of the PigX podcast, talking about why the Pig Livability Project exists and how the project is continuing to support the latest research and information for the swine industry. Resources and updates regarding the project can be found at piglivability.org. We want to thank once again Dr. Joel DeRusci and Dr. David Rosero for joining today's episode. From talking about the ways the project is growing, to being a resource for the swine industry, to discussing the upcoming conference for those who want to attend, this episode was action-packed. Thanks for tuning in this month. Be sure to come back next month for another timely episode on all things swine. Until next time, I'm Delaney Howell, and this has been the PigX Podcast.
PigX is a national podcast hosted by the Pig Livability Project partners at Iowa State University, Kansas State University, and Purdue, and supported by the Iowa Pork Industry Center. For more information on the project, head to www.piglivability.org, or to inquire directly with questions regarding the project, email ipic.iastate.edu. PigX, ideas in the swine industry worth sharing.